Core Chasm Radio. I'm Farm Director Joe Gill at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in KC. We visit with the American Farm Bureau Federation, Joby Young, joining us, Executive VP. And, you know, I can go down the list and talk about a lot of topics you've talked about all day long. You know, when you prioritize things, it's really not a one, two, three, four. It's maybe a one, and then you got four things under it, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We always have a lot of projects that we're working on for our farmer and rancher members across the country. Ag's a complex industry, and we got a lot of challenges, we got a lot of opportunities, and it's a very unique time, so we got a lot of work on.
You know, at the end of the day, it comes down to those on the farm, and are things working, you know, are they getting fair prices, can they go to farm another year? And it's economic wise, it's been tough, but there are a few highlights.
Yeah, that's for sure. We talk about it, and we frame it in our minds that way, that it's really about that farm family and what's their finances and what are their challenges that they're experiencing there. Not just because, you know, that helps tell the story, but because that's what matters to society, right? Because if we're solving these problems in the right way, that agricultural economy is going to keep humming. We're going to keep trying to we're going to keep being able to deliver the safest, healthiest, most reliable, affordable food supply in the world. And so that's how we talk about it now. And unfortunately, it is tough out there right now, you know. And there's some bright spots, you know. If you're in the beef cattle business, you've got some decent prices right now. Although we've had a little of controversy out here on that issue even in the last few weeks, but you know, the rest of ag is in a tough spot. You know, the last couple of years, four years of price declines across your major commodities. We still see these heightened input prices that really jumped up during the COVID, the sort of pandemic days, and haven't really let off since then. Agricultural labor continues to be a challenge. And then on top of that, we have the disruptive trade in foreign markets that we've seen the last few months. So all that comes together to present a lot of challenges. But you know, we have some things that we're hoping for that are promising for the future. We can get into those. You know, some policy some wins and some things we think we're really close on as well. But you know, for instance, in agricultural labor. The Department of Labor, we've advocated for a long time for them to redo their adverse effect wage rate, which sets the wage for H-2A labor, which is important in so many industries. And they just came out with a rule recently that you know, finally did that. And that the estimates are that's going to, you know, reflect itself in reduced wage rates in the H-2A program in virtually every single state by a meaningful amount, you know, back to market-based, rational wage rates. And so that makes a big difference. You know, you're coming down double digits in many states on the wage rate. That's a good thing. And then just a couple days ago, the EPA came out with a proposed rule. They've announced a proposed rule on the waters of the U.S., and for those, I'm sure most of your listeners follow this, of course, and know, are very aware of that. But you know, that concerns, you know, a landowner walking out on their land and looking at a feature and being able to know, hey, is that going to be covered by the Clean Water Act? And do I need permitting on that, or can I make this business decision on my operation that I need to? And for years, they haven't been able to do that. There's total uncertainty, lack of clarity, a lot of confusion, and then on top of that, as administrations have come and gone and court cases have been litigated, that's changed. It's sort of ping pong back and forth. And so we are pleased that this latest rule, not only does the EPA, on our initial look, it's only been a couple days, but our initial look is, hey, this looks like a clear definition. It looks like one that's consistent with recent Supreme Court guidance that clearly define and give direction on what is a water of the U.S. And not only that, they're trying to write it in a way that hopefully it stands the test of time. And it won't just get, you know, washed out, you know, in a few years or with the next, you know, potential litigation and whatnot. So, you know, you never know, but it looks like they're going in a good direction. It's a proposed rule. We got 45 days to comment on it. We'll be digging into it. But another little bright spot.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of people say, well, Joby, that's great. We get an answer we like, but then in 3 years, a different administration. let's switch that and let's do something else sort of thing.
Right. Well, we've been... we've been on a positive path for the last few years. The Sackett court case that the Supreme Court put forward, that gave a lot more distinct direction to the agency about the direction they need to go. Unfortunately, the last administration, we still weren't satisfied that they were clearly following the direction from the Supreme Court. This administration, this EPA, is much more closely following the direction from the Supreme Court. And so if they write that and it's sufficiently within those boundaries that the Supreme Court outlines, it makes it a lot harder for somebody to come along and litigate it and have a good rationale for that.
Obviously, you have way more experience in D.C. and a lot of our listeners who have never been to D.C., so therefore that's my pledge for membership, especially Farm Bureau, whatever you're involved in. What is the level of understanding when it comes to, you're talking like WOTUS, and is there an understanding saying, boy, if we do it this way, this is how it affects a farmer? But I suppose that battle is always continuous.
Yeah, well, that's what we go to work every day to do is A, you know, as a staff, you know, President Zippy Duvall, the National AFBF president, you know, a few weeks ago, he was in the Oval Office sitting across the table from the President of the United States and talking about a lot of these issues and what they mean for individual farm families. And the reason he has the opportunity to do that is because of that collective strength of the Farm Bureau. And of course, there's commodity organizations. We work with folks that are a lot of ag groups. But farmers and ranchers being involved in their, whether it's Farm Bureau or whether it's one of our partner groups, that's extremely important because that collective strength gives the ability for your representatives to go and sit in the Oval Office, to go and sit in these congressional offices. Last week, President Duvall was in another White House meeting, and we were discussing year-round E15, you know, a huge issue for ag world. I mean, the 30% of corn goes to ethanol. Some estimates say if we got year-round E15, it would increase that by 50%. I mean, gosh, what a big effect that would have in terms of creating markets and domestic demand. And, oh, by the way, a huge benefit to the consumer in terms of price at the pump and having that option. And, by the way, also saves money to the government. So, but he gets the opportunity to do that because of the involvement of the grassroots member across the country. But then the other piece, that the reason it's so important, and you know, and I encourage everybody to join and be involved in Farm Bureau or other groups, is because the way that we open doors, you know, of course President Duvall is doing his thing, and I am, and all these other staff, state staff at American Farm Bureau that are subject matter experts and carry these policy discussions forward. But what really sort of, you know, punches the ball into the end zone time and time again is having that grassroots involvement and that farmer being able to go and have a conversation with their congressman or, you know, name the policy official, you know, at the state level, at the federal level, their neighbor across the fence, doing an interview like this and actually sharing their perspective. All those conversations are what actually make the difference when farmers and ranchers are 2% of the country, right? That's 2% of the population. And so we have to be really good at telling our story. We have to be really dialed in on that. And so that's why it's so important.
And what I just like to pigtail on that, it's not that Joby's sitting around the kitchen table writing about priorities for Farm Bureau. No, it comes from all the states, and that all comes at the national convention. So it's good to remind folks that you can have an idea or something that needs to be discussed, that's where it comes from.
Oh, yeah. When we get up and go to work every day, that's one of the magical things about the organization and what's so fulfilling about working for this constituency of farmers and ranchers is that the priorities we carry forward, the things that we're advocating for, the perspectives that we're reflecting are the perspectives of those grassroots members. And it comes from county meetings that started across the country a few months ago. And I mean, I think as we record this, the Minnesota Farm Bureau annual meeting is going on, and those members will get together and create policy and debate policy, and they will send that up to the national convention of AFBF. It's going to be in January in Anaheim, and it'll be finalized by the grassroots delegates there, and then we'll go to work on it. You know, and so again, as you mentioned, that's not someone like me coming up with that. That's the people I work for, which are farmers and ranchers across the country.
Our coverage at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting continues. Joby Young with the American Farm Bureau Federation, right here on CASM Radio, number one farm radio in central Minnesota.